Today's daf is Bamitzia Daf Tzadi Beis. We are holding on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. We are about halfway through the wide lines in Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. We are in the middle of going through various rayos of whether someone working on one gefen is allowed to eat from another gefen. We have learned in the Mishnah that if you're working on a gefen, you're not allowed to eat from a ta'ena, or vice versa. Certainly, if you're working on a gefen, you are permitted to eat from the gefen on which you are working. But the question was, what if you are working on one vine? Are you allowed to eat from another vine? So far we brought three rayos. Today we're going to have the fourth and final raya, but there are two different versions of the fourth and final raya, and that's going to take us to the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph is going to have a machlokas if a poel can eat more than his work is worth. He's getting paid $10 a day, but he's eating $20 of fruit a day. Is that okay? Is he allowed to eat just as more than his schar, as much as he wants? And there's going to be three opinions in the Mishnah, but two of them sound very, very similar to each other. So the Gemara is going to work on what the difference is between the two opinions that sound so similar between the Chacham and the Tanakhama, and we're going to have three different possible shitos of what the difference is between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim, and through those three shitos, we're going to really define the limits of the right to eat. What if you're only working on one fruit? Can you eat the one fruit with which you are working, and then the balabais is going to be left with nothing? Meaning, are there some sort of limits on this idea of what a person is allowed to eat? Is it only for the poel who was hired, or could anybody come into your field and decide to be a worker and eat whatever you want? These types of issues are going to help define the difference between the Chacham and the Tanakhama. But then the large majority of the daf is going to be dealing with the very nature of the food that the balabais has to allow the poel to eat. How do we view that payment? How do we view that food that the poel eats? Do we view it as part of his salary, part of his wages? This is a benefit that he has in his work. Or do we view it as like matnos aniyim, that this is min hashamayim, that this is one of the things, say religious obligation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposes, that a person has to give, just like you give trumos and maestros, a person has to give the poel to eat. The Gemara is going to have nine different rayas, whether it's mishalo or mishal shamayim, which of those understandings is correct. And that really takes us all the way through the rest of the daf. Those nine different rayas, whether it's Mishalo or Mishal Shemaim. So let's begin. We're at Tashema. Last words on the line are Tashema. Halfway down the wide lines on Daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis. And again, we're trying to figure out when a poel is working on one gefen, is he permitted to eat from a different gefen? Tashema. V'kulam lo amr el b'shas melacha. Avmei ha-sheva v'edi l'baylim amru poel mochlim ba'ali chasan me'om alomenu b'chazirasim min agas. We had said in the Mishnah that really on a Darais level, poel is only allowed to eat while he is working. However, it's in the best interest of the boss, of the balabais, that the poel not do all his eating while he is working. So even though midaraisa, poel is not allowed to eat while he's walking from one row in the vineyard to another row in the vineyard because he's not working at that time, it's in the best interest of the balabais. For Hashavas Aveda to the balabais, we made a takana, let the poel eat then, because that's the time that he's not working anyway. So says Mar Savrua, Mahalich Chosamaisadami. We're going to work with the assumption, at least in this first version of this raya, that when he's walking, that's like he's doing a maisa. That's considered part of his work day. But still on a daraisa level, he would not be permitted to eat. It's only midin hashavas aveid lebailim that the Rabbanan said that he's allowed to eat. But while walking from one vine to another, we do not permit him to eat. Midaraisa lo achil. Alma osa begefen zeh, eino ochel begefen acher. So what you see is that on a daraisa level, why is it that he can't eat when he's walking from one vine to another? If we consider it that he's working, that walking is considered working, so why is it that midaraisa is not allowed to eat? It must be that midaraisa is not allowed to eat because he's not working on that vine anymore. And when you're working on one vine, you're not allowed to eat from another vine. So isn't this a raya that ochel begefen, that someone who's osa begefen zeh is lo yoch? Really, we could say that if a person is ochel be'osa begefen zeh, he is permitted to eat begefen acher.
umahalich lav kosa maisadami. But this guy's not working at all. He's walking from one place to the other. Enochinami, if you're working on one gefen, he could eat from another gefen. This guy is walking in between vines, so that's why midar raisa, he would not be allowed to eat, and it's only mitakanas chachamim, mishum ha-shavas aveda lebailim, that we allow him to eat. That was one version of the discussion. The other version of the discussion has it exactly in the reverse order. It has it exactly backwards. Ikeda Amri, the other version of the raya is savrua, the foundation that we're working with, the basis of our assumption, the assumption that we're working with is mahalich lav ka'os ha-maisadami, is that when a person is walking from one place to the other, it's not a maisa. That's not called working. And therefore, v'hainu taima de midaraisa lo achil mishum de lav ka'os ha-maisadami. And the only reason midaraisa he can't eat is because he's not working currently when he's walking from one place to the other. Oh, but the implication is ha'osa maisa achil midaraisa, that if he were doing some maisa in between the grapevines, then he would be allowed to eat even though he's not eating from the vine with which he is working. That would be the diuk that we're able to make. Alma osa begefen zeh, ochal begefen acher. So this is taka araya that if someone is osa begefen zeh, he is permitted to eat begefen acher. Says Gemara, lo, li'ol be melach osa begefen zeh, Eino ochel begefen acher. Really, I'll tell you, if a person is also begefen zeh, he may not be ochel begefen acher. Umahalich ko'osa maisadami. But maybe we should change our initial assumption and make it that when he's walking from one place to the other, that is like osa maisa. That's considered as if he's working. So if mahalich is ko'osa maisadami and mida oraisa, he's not allowed to work while he's mahalich, that would tell you that if he's also begefen zeh, he's eino ochel begefen acher. So we don't have a raya because we don't know what the assumption our Mishnah is working with is. We don't know whether our assumption, whether our Mishnah assumes that Mahalich is Ka'osa Maisa or Mahalich is Lav Ka'osa Maisa. U'b'chamar k'shi parakas. And then at the end of the Mishnah had said somewhat of a vague line that by a donkey, when it is unloaded, that's when it's allowed to eat. So I asked the Gemara, k'shi parakas, me'echan achla. What do you mean? When it's unloaded, where's it eating from? It goes on its way. It's done. The work is over. So no, what it means is that the donkey is allowed to eat up until the point that it's unloaded, up until the point that it's not carrying anything on its back anymore. Says Tosos, Alema ad shete parakas, the salkatai techamina, she'eno achalas elik shi roa hagefen bifaneha, aval k'she'eno roa shagefen aleha, o ba'gala eino achalas, because one might have thought, meaning what's the chiddush then of this last line in the Mishnah? Oh, the donkey is allowed to eat so long as it's still working. Of course it's allowed to eat so long as it's still working. That's the very mitzvah, that's the very yisur in the Torah of Losachsim Shorbadisho, that you can't let an animal work and deprive it of food. So Tos explains, no, the Havamina was that it's only allowed to eat, it's only called deprivation of food if it could see the food, if the food is in front of it. But the donkey doesn't see anything in front of it, the whole burden is on its back, so it doesn't see what kind of food you're putting into the basket that's on its back. So one might have thought that it doesn't get to eat. Says Tosos, V'yalfagav the time of the chasim alav mishum the chazim etzarisu kamash mlan de lo kai amvne hashavas haveda de min adin ochelas el mil sabab inafshehu. That this is telling us that this is not a din in hashavas haveda, that this is not going on. The fact that the donkey could eat up until the last moment is not just a din in hashavas haveda. That's min hadin ochelas. This is a separate statement. So says the Gemara, Tanin alaha de Tanur Rabbanan. We have a brisa. It says just like this: Chamor v'gamel ochlim mimasu shal gabehen, obavat shaloyit obiyot oviyachilim. That a chamor and gamel are allowed to eat from that which is on their backs, as long as you don't take with your hands and feed it to them. As long as the worker doesn't take with his hands and feed it to them, they're allowed to eat from that which is on their backs. The Ravid says, he's quoted in the Miuchas L'Ritva and Shita Mekubetzes, that the Gemara is not trying to bring a raya from the Mishnah to a Braisa. Meaning that would be a little strange. The Gemara is trying to bring a raya from the Braisa to what the Gemara's answer was, that it's ad shete parakas. Meaning we're bringing a raya that we're understanding the Mishnah properly, that ad shete parakas makes sense. Says the Mishnah, Ochel Powell Kishus. This mission discusses the limits of what a Powell is allowed to eat. Is a Powell allowed to eat more than he's worth, more than his whole salary? So Ochel Powell Kishus Afilu B'dinar. He's allowed to eat Kishos even if they cost a dinar, which is considered a significant amount of money. That's no problem. He's allowed to eat something that's worth a lot of money. Koseves Afilu B'dinar. He's allowed to eat a Koseves even if it's a dinar. Why does he have to mention both? Kishos, I get it. He's allowed to eat expensive fruit. Why does he have to say both Kishos and Koseves? So the Shidim Gubetzes quotes Rabbi Yonasan that is tell us that it's not only Bekishos, which is from Perus Adama, even a Koseves, which is Perus Ilan, which typically are more expensive and have more Chashivus, even that he's allowed to eat. So it's adding that even Perus Ilan, he's allowed to eat from. When the Mishnah says Lashon of Bedinar, it's Lav Dafka, meaning it's saying even more than a dinar, that Rabbi Yonasan points out. The point is, he's allowed to eat as much as he wants. He's allowed to eat whatever the fruits are worth. Rabbi Lazar Chasma Omer, Lo Yochal Paul Yisrael Scharo. Rabbi Lazar Chasma disagrees. Says a Paul should not be eating more than his own schar, more than his own wages. The Chum Matirin, the Chum say he is allowed to eat more than his own wages. So right away the Gemara is going to ask, wait a second, Tanakama already said that. Tanakama said he's allowed to eat afilu b'dinar. What are the Chacham adding when they say he's allowed to eat more than his own wages? Avul Malamdin Asadam Shloye Ravtan. We advise people, you know, when we give interview advice or whatever, when we train people of how to go and get a job, we advise them not to be the guy who eats more than his wages, because it's going to be very hard for him to find a job. No one's going to want to hire the guy who eats that amount of food. Rabbi Yonasan also, according to Shidduch Mubetzes, Melamdin also means Ohav Avireya, people who are, this is not a din based din, this is a din in being a good friend, that his friends should tell them, listen, this is a bad idea to be someone who's so gluttonous, who's going to be eating all the time. Says Gemara, Chacham Hainu Tanakama. Aren't the Chacham and the Tanakama saying exactly the same thing? So says Gemara, Ika b'nayu aval melandin. The Tanakama less le melandin, the Rabbanan is le melandin. No, what they're arguing about is, do we advise him not to do this? The Tanakama does not hold that we advise him not to do this, and it was only the Chacham who introduced the idea that we advise him not to do this. So what does that mean exactly? The Tanakama says we don't advise him, and the Chidush Miuchasim Lirtvi says the Tanakama would also say that it's appropriate to advise him not to do this. If you care about this fellow and you want him to be employed, it's appropriate to advise him not to do this. Tanakama just didn't teach us this chiddush. That's the point. It's not that they're arguing la halacha, it's that the Tanakama didn't introduce this idea. Tanakama was just thinking very narrowly, what's the halacha? So the what the chamad is beyond the halacha, it's important. An important yidia is that Oav Avikrovav should look out for him a little bit. However, that's how the Ritvan said. But Rov Rishonim don't understand that way. Rov Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Yohanan, the Piskei Rid, the Rosh, the Mukhei Yosef, Rov Rishonim understand that the Tanakhama would say Ein Melamdin. So what does that mean? So what's the reason Ein Melamdin? Rabbi Yonasan explains that according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to be Melamed him not to be a Ravtan, even as an Eitzah, because if the Torah gives him the right to eat, we're not allowed to uproot that which the Torah has entitled him to. So even if it's only Derech Eitzah, it's only a friendly conversation, you shouldn't take away that which the Torah has given him the right to. And the Piskei really says, according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to be melamed him not to be a ravtan, because by being melamed him, it's as if you're being monea him from eating, and that's therefore a violation of losachsum shor b'disho. Remember, we had cases of losachsum where it's a chasim of a kol, you're just yelling and telling the guy not to eat, telling the animal not to eat, and that's also considered losachsum potentially. So this would also be losachsum, that you're muzzling the guy by telling him that it's not wise. For him to eat. So that's the explanation according to those who showed him that the Tanakhama would hold that you're not even allowed to tell him not to eat. Ibai say another possibility of what the difference is, what the machlokas is between the Tanakhama and the Chamim, Ika b'nai d'Ravasi. They argue about Rav Asi's din. D'am Rav Asi afilu sakra livtor eshkol echad ochlo. That even if you were only hired to remove one eshkol, to harvest one eshkol, one cluster, you're allowed to eat that cluster. Rashi writes, "Ochlo lo oso eshkol." Va'am Ravasi afilu batzar el eshkol echad ochlo. And Ravasi adds that another din, that even if you have only so far been botzer one eshkol, you're allowed to eat that one eshkol. So before
before so the Gemara is just going to explain what the difference is between these two statements of Rav Asi. First statement of Rav Asi is, even if you're only hired to remove one eshkol, you're allowed to eat it. Second statement, that even if to date you have only done one eshkol, you're allowed to eat it. Tzricha, we need both of those statements. So if I would only been told the first statement about the guy who was only hired on one eshkol, I would say that's, there's nothing to put into the kelim of the Baal HaBayis. So meaning there is going to be nothing to put into the kelim of the Baal HaBayis, so you're allowed to eat that eshkol first because there is no second. But when there is going to be what to put into the kelim of the Baal HaBayis, I would think you first have to put something into the kelim of the Baal HaBayis before you eat. When you know that there's going to be some part that you eat and some part that goes into the kelim of the Baal HaBayis, so take care of the Baal HaBayis first. And if I only would have been told the second case where there's going to be lots of produce, I would say, yeah, that's where you're allowed to eat first, because don't worry, you're not keeping anything from the Baal HaBayis. Baal HaBayis is still going to get whatever he's going to get. He's still going to receive something. But when you're not going to be able to be mekayim anything, there's going to be nothing left for the Baal HaBayis, I might have thought that you're not allowed to eat the one eshkol. So tzricha, that's why we need both versions of Rav Asi, both when you're only working on the one thing and when you're working on many things, that you're always allowed to eat the first eshkol that you pull off the tree. But that's the machlokas between the Tanakam and the Chachamim, whether that's true, whether when you're only hired to eat one eshkol, are you allowed to eat that one eshkol? Now the Rif and the Rambam don't bring the din of Rav Asi. So the Ritva wonders, why is it that the Rif is docha, the din of Rav Asi, from the halacha? Meaning he doesn't bring it, obviously it means he doesn't paskin that way. In the Sefer HaShlomi says the reason for the Rif is because the Gemara says that the Tanakam and the Chachamim argue about Rav Asi's din. So the Tanakam is cholik on Rav Asi. So it could be that even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar Chasma in our Mishnah, but it could be we paskin like the Tanakama. And that's why the Rif doesn't quote the din of Rav Asi. Now Gos HaGroi says the Rif and the Rambam understand that the Tanakama holds like Rav Asi, and the Chachamim disagree with Rav Asi. Like Rashi and other Rishonim, it's Machlokas, which way this Machlokas goes. We only know our Gemara is saying is that the Tanakam and the Chachamim disagree whether we hold like Rav Asi or not. But who holds what? Who holds like Rav Asi, who doesn't? That's a further Machlokas Rishonim. So that Gos HaGra suggests that the Rif and the Rambam understand that the Tanakam holds like Rav Asi, the Chachamim don't hold like Rav Asi. Generally, we paskin like the Chachamim. So that's why the Rif and the Rambam don't paskin like Rav Asi. That's why the Halacha is not like Rav Asi. There are other Rishonim, though, that do quote both Memros of Rav Asi, which imply that they do paskin that way. But the Rif and the Rambam don't paskin that way. Iba Yisema, a third possibility of what the Tanakam and the Chachamim are arguing about. Iga B'nai de Rav. They're arguing about the din of Rav. Da Amar Rav, Matzasi Megillah Starim, Bei Rav Chia. He says, I found a Megillah Starim in the Beis Medrash of Rav Chia. Rashi says, what's Megillah Starim? Megillah Tmuna, Levi Sha'asa Lichtof Halacho, Sukshay Shomer Dvar Chidush, Vyari L'Shocho, Hayikoswa Master Mina Ayin. The way they, it used to be very challenging. How do you remember your Torah when you're not allowed to write down Torah Sheval Peh? So no one was ever allowed to take notes. So the Gemara in Bab Basra at the end of the first paragraph says, Asher Mi Shebalakan V'Talmudo B'Yado. Marsha says, what does it mean, Talmudo B'Yado? It means that he takes notes, that a person has to take. But how do you take notes when it's also to have to write down Torah Sheval Peh? So the Rashi explains, what they used to do is they would take notes, they just couldn't publish the notes. You couldn't share it with others. It couldn't be something that was disseminated. So you would take your notes, and that itself, just the process of writing, helps aid in the learning. And sometimes you might even refer back to those notes, but you're certainly not giving them around. You're not giving them out to other people. So it's a Megillah Starim. That's what we call a Megillah Starim, because they would put it away, they would hide it, since it was something that wasn't allowed to be shared. So he said, I found it in Megillah Starim. V'kasuba Isi ben Yuda Omer, kisava b'kerem re'echa, Bibias kol adam akasuv medaber, that the Torah is saying anyone is allowed to go into your kerem and start eating as long as they do a little bit of work. Vamarav lo shavak isi chay lekol beria. That's crazy that no one's going to be able to live then, because people are just going to come into their fields and eat them out of house and home. It's there's not going to be any way that a person is going to be able to maintain a field.
Amr Ravashi, I'm recently shmeita kamed Rav Kahana. Says I said this to Rav Kahana. Va'amli dilma ba'osim b'sudasam da avdu va'achlu. Maybe it doesn't mean that they're just stam coming into your field and eating whatever they want. They're working in your field. Amrli afilu hachi nichle linish logar aguri v'niktfele pardisei v'lonesu kuleyal va'achlu. Still, a guy who owns a field would much rather hire his own workers and know that the guys that he hired are the ones working in his field, rather than having the whole world come to work a little bit and eat a little bit. That's not something that he's interested in doing, because for several reasons. First of all, when you hire your own workers to work in the field, you know that at a certain point, if you have a restaurant and you hire people to work in that restaurant consistently, it's not new people every day, so at a certain point they're going to get sick of the food. They're not going to just be stuffing their faces with that food all the time, so they're not going to be eating so much. But if you have new workers every single day, so it's like every day it's like, oh, we get a free meal, and they're gonna enjoy all the free food that they're getting because it's a new worker. You're not interested in having new people and all sorts of. Plus, you have a worker that comes into your field, so the worker is going to work all day. He can't possibly eat all day. He'll eat whenever he eats. He'll eat at mealtime. He'll eat whatever, but he's not going to eat all day. But if it's a constant rotation of people throughout the day, so they'll be eating as they're working the entire day. All they're going to be doing is that they're going to be eating. So that's why a person, it's not helpful to a person to have have this halacha that a person that anyone could just walk in and eat whenever they want. So the now says the Gemara, this is going to be the discussion that takes us through the rest of the daf. Yibayluhu. Poel mishalohu ochel, o mishal shamayimu ochel. When a poel eats, is that part of his wages, mishalohu ochel? It's considered to be part of his salary. Or is it mishal shamayimu ochel? Is it that it's considered like a matana from a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he's ochel? It's like the matnos aniyim. The Shiding Betzos points out that the suffix of the Gemara is not according to Ravasi. According to Ravasi, he said that even if you don't hire him, you only hire him for one eshkol, he's allowed to eat that eshkol. He's allowed to eat the whole thing. So we know for sure it's certainly mishal shamayim ochel, because if he's only botzer one eshkol, you can't say that it's mishalohu ochel. That's part of his wages, that his wages is to eat everything, that there's nothing left for the Baal HaBayis. But if it's a matnas aniyim, so who knows what a Kodesh Baruch Hu, how much a Kodesh Baruch Hu is entitling the person to. So that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu entitles the person to. So that's what Shidim Gvetzel says, that this suffix is not a suffix according to Ravasi. So all the rayas, the whole rest of the daf, is not within Ravasi. But then he's doche, he says maybe that's not true. On the side of Mishal Shemayim Uachal, Reb Chaim in Hilchos Me'ilah Perches Halacha Aleph points out that if you say Mishal Shemayim Uachal, the poel does not have a zechus tevia on the Baal HaBayis. Nevertheless, the rishus to eat from the perils is considered a zechus mamonis that he has on the Baal HaBayis. Meaning, it's not just considered a ritual law. This is a din in dine mamonis. It's not only a mitzvah on the Baal HaBayis. And his raya is from the fact that the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin in Daf Nun Zayin and the Rambam Paskins in the 9th paragraph of Tzmulachim, that a poel ben Noach who works by a ben Noach is also able to eat from the perils that he's doing malacha by, that he's doing malacha with. If you say that the lav de chasima is simply a mitzvah al Baal HaBayis, so meheichi tesi that ben Noach is mitzuva on this mitzvah. Meaning, if you say that it's purely a ritual law, so there are sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, why would there be a din by a ben Noach? So says Reb Chaim, no, but if it's a din in dine mamonis, so there's gezel by b'nei Noach, there are dinim by b'nei Noach. Dine mamonis is something that does apply to b'nei Noach, so then you understand very well why it applies to B'nai Noach. But Reb Chaim points out, that's only when it comes to a poel eating. When it comes to a behema eating, so the Isser Chasima has to only be an Isser, not a Zechus Mamonis. And the Raya is that this Isser is knowing even on your own animal. If it were a Din and Din and Mamonis, then it wouldn't apply to your own animal, because you have no monetary claims against yourself. So you have to say that it's not a Din and Din and Mamonis by Behema, that it's purely a Din in Isser Veheta when it comes to Behema. So anyway, the Mayna Afkamina, ask Gemara, what's an Afkamina, whether it's Mishalo Ochel or Mishal Shemayim Uachal, the Amar Tnu Ishti Yubanai. The guy says, you know, give to my wife and to my children. If it's part of his salary, well, that's where part of his salary goes. It goes to supporting his wife and kids. But if you say it's like a matnas aniyim, it's like a kohen taking his truma and saying, yeah, don't give it to me, give it to my Yisrael friend. Yeah, you can't do that. The Torah allows him to have it. The Torah was never zochid for. for anybody else. It was only to him. So he's not able to say, give it to him, to Ishto Banav. So says Mai, what is the din? So now we're going to have nine rayas. Raya number one, Tashma. Our Mishnah said that the Pole is allowed to eat even things that are very expensive. If you say that it's part of his wages, who hires workers to have a bonus, you know, that of wages that's more than he's actually producing for the balabayas? He's only benefiting you danka, a little amount of money, and you're going to give him a zuz. You're going to give him more than that amount of money. Still, even if it's mishmaim uochel, does it make sense that the matnas aniyim is going to be so big? We're not saying we understand this din. We're just saying this is the din, but it doesn't tell you the nature of the din just because the pole can have so much more than he's actually worth. Tashma Limar says, okay, another raya. Rabbaz Chasma Omer, lo yachol po'el yosral scharo v'cham matirin. We had this machlokas in the Mishnah. Can the po'el eat more than his wages? Rabbaz Chasma said, no, the Chasma said, yes. My love, baha kamiflagi. Isn't this the very machlokas that they're arguing about? The Marsav, Rabbaz Chasma holds, mishalohu ochel, that it's considered part of his wages, and therefore it can't be more than his wages. Previously, the previous raya was about it being more than he's making the balabais, more than the balabais is benefiting. This is about it being more than his actual wages. Umar saver l'chamol mishal shemayim ochel, and therefore it can be more than his wages. Lo, dukuli alma mishalohu ochel. Really, everyone might agree that it's mishalohu ochel. V'hacha b'kenafshecha kamiflagi. Over here, they're arguing about how to darshan kenafshecha. Mar saver kenafshecha b'dover shemoser nafsho alav. That kenafshecha means something that he would be moser nefesh on to go climb in a tree, to be moser nefesh to make the money. That kenafshecha is an entirely different drasha. Kenafshecha means that just like for yourself, if you were chosim yourself, you'd be pater and you'd be allowed to do that. So too by a poel, if you are chose, if you do chasim on him that he shouldn't eat from the vineyard, you're pater. So that's a totally different drasha. So if you learn kenafshecha is b'dav Moser Nefesh Olav, that the shear of the schar that you would be Moser Nefesh and climb in a tree to then put yourself in Sakana, so that's as if it says, V'achalta Anavim Bischarcha. So that's what we're saying, that you can only eat Bischarcha. But if you hold that Kenafshcha is an entirely different drasha, so then the Torah doesn't ask for the Poel to eat more than his wages, more than his actual schar. So it's really a machlokas about the drasha of Kenafshcha, not a machlokas about the nature of this din. Tashma, third raya. Nazir sha'amar tenu. When Nazir it says, tenu, what does it change to? Le'ishti yubanai. Give to my wife and to my son. Ein shamanam, meaning he's working in a kerem. He can't have any of the grapes himself because he's a nazir. So we don't listen to him. V'yam mishalo ochel. But if we say that it's his salary, amay ein shamanam. Why wouldn't we listen to him? Says Tosos v'im tomar demay parach hakiven dehu ein yochel echel havle kacholosh ein yochel litin lahem. What's the question? We don't give it to him. He's like a cholo who's not able to eat, so you don't give it to him. V'yashlam dal dami lecholo dechole einu ta'iv leperush alafanav. No, by Chola it's different. A Chola is not interested in the peros because he's not feeling up to it. So since he's not experiencing that taiva, it's not cruel to withhold it from him because he doesn't even have a taiva for that, which it's as if he's working with something that's not a food item. That if a person makes chairs, so you don't you're not faulted for not feeding him chairs because people don't eat that. That's the din by a Chola. But by a nazir, he has a taiva for the grapes. He's just not allowed to eat the grapes. So aval nazir de taiv zoche like a sharp poel. So for him, he should be zoche. He should be able to have it like any other poel. So if it's really part of his salary, why can't he give it to his wife and kids? Says Gemara, no, that's a different din. Hasum shom lech lech amrin nazir schar schar lekamer lelsikrav. That's like a special knas that we have on the nazir to not. A nazir should not be working in a on grapevines. He should not be working in a vineyard. So as a way of preventing him from working in a vineyard, we say, listen, not only are you not going to be allowed to eat the grapes, even though by right you should be able to give it to your wife and kids, you cannot give it to your wife and kids. The very isser of a nazir to eat grapes in the first place is understood by many rishonim to be a siyag da'oraisa, that it's not stam, a regular din da'oraisa. It's already a geder, it's already a siyag in its own right, meaning we normally think of siyagim as things that are derabbanan, that the Torah makes isurim, and the rabbanan build a fence around the Torah. But nevertheless, there is the Prima Gadim writes in Psicha Kolelas, and then Rabbi Yosef Engel makes a very big deal out of it. He has a whole essay where he goes through like 15 examples of siyag d'oraisa, where sometimes the Torah makes a fence around itself. Don't cook meat and milk together. Why can't I cook meat and milk together? Because the Torah doesn't want you to come to eat meat and milk together, even though cooking is part of the yichud asr min haTorah. Why can't you have yichud with someone? Because it'll come to be a, but it's a din d'oraisa that you're not allowed to do. We have a siyag d'oraisa. But the Prima Gadim suggests in Psicha Kolelas, in the Chelek Aleph of Psicha Kolelas, that when something is a siyag d'oraisa, we don't make a gzera l'gzera. Meaning, even though it's not a drabanan, it is still called like a gzera. And the rules and the limits of not making a gzera l'gzera would apply in a siyag d'oraisa. So a little bit difficult to understand why a poel, who's a nazir, is not allowed to work in a vineyard. If the whole iser to eat from grapes in the first place is only a gzera, is only a siyag, how can we make a siyag l'siyag, that he's not even allowed to walk near or be in the vineyard? So the very notion that we tell him not to go near the vineyard sounds like it's not just a siyag d'oraisa, or that gzera l'gzera, the limits of gzera l'gzera don't apply to a siyag d'oraisa. So anyway, says Gemara further, Tashema, Raya number 4. Paul Shamar Tanu Lishti Ubanai. Paul says, you know, give to my wife and kids, Ein Shomelo. V'yar Mishlo, O Chalamai Ein Shomelo. But if he's eating from his own stuff, why not? My Poel, Nazir. No, when we say Poel over here, what we really mean is the guy's a Nazir. Vatanya Nazir, Vatanya Poel. But we had a Brice already that discussed Nazir. So it says more, Midigabe Adadi Tanyan. Yeah, you can have Brices that overlap with each other. That happens all the time, as long as it wasn't taught in the same Bais Medrash at the same time. Tashma Raya number 5. Minayin the Poel, Shamar Tanu Lishti Ubanai. How do I know we don't allow the Poel to feed his wife and kids? Because the Pasuk says he's not allowed to put it in his kelim. The fruits that he's taking, he can't put in his own kelim and keep for home for later. And if you can say, no, that's not a raya, that's also talking about a nazir. Is that why a nazir is not allowed to feed his wife and kids? Because of el keli chalotitain? It's because we tell the nazir to stay out of the vineyard. So, inachinami, Poel, that Eina Chinami, the real reason is because of Lach Lach Amr Nazira, but since we're using a Lashon of a Poel, we quote a Pasuk about a Poel, even though Eina Chinami, that Pasuk is not the appropriate Pasuk. So that's still not a Raya, because really, the driving force behind that din is Lach Lach Amr Nazira, is not the Pasuk that we actually quote. Tashma Raya number 6. Hasokar as a Poel, Liktsos B'te'enim, you hire a worker to dry figs for you, hareza ochel. He's allowed to eat from those te'enim while he is drying the figs. Upatim in a meiser, and it's patim from meiser because it did not yet have a gemar melacha. Almanasha ochel aniyubni. If the balabayis says that the poel makes it tonight with the balabayis, that almanas, that I and my children can eat, oshe yochel bni bischari, or that my child could eat in my place. Who ochel upater? The poel is allowed to eat and it's pater for meiser because his achila is a din min haTorah. Ubno ochel v'chayev, but when his child eats, it's chayev in meiser because the Torah was not mezaken that his child should be allowed to eat. It's only a special deal, a special tanai that he made. When you make a special deal, that's like a mekach. That's like he purchased those rights for his child. A mekach is kovei al meiser. When you make a purchase, that creates a chayev meiser. V'yar mishlo ochel b'no amai chayev. But if you say mishlo ochel, why is that like a mekach? Is just still part of his salary. So why would his son be chayiv? Some ravina mishum de mechzi kemekach. It's not that it's actually a mekach, it's that it looks like a mekach. Tashema says Gemara, Raya number 7. Hasokar as a poel. Someone hires a poel, lasos b'netar revai shalo. And you hire him to work on a tree that's netar revai. Netar revai has a din of Maisa Sheni, you're not allowed to eat from it, you got to bring it to Yerushalayim. Hare'elu lo yochelu. It's awesome for a poelim to eat from it because it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. Vim lo odiyam. And if you didn't tell him in advance that the tree that he's going to be working on is Netar Ravai, Poda umachilan, then the balabayis has to be poda those peros and give the peros to the poel to eat. He has to be poda those peros on money, and it will be the balabayis' problem to bring that money to Yerushalayim. This poel has to be allowed to eat. But if it's just a regular matnas aniyim, am I poda machilan? Why isn't the balabayis' responsibility to be poded? It's simply not a matana. The matana does not include isurin, so the Torah is not mizaket to the poel the right to eat something that's an iser. So why is it the balabayis' problem? So says Gemara, Hasu mishum demechzi kemechatos. It's the balabayis' problem, midine mamonis, that you hire a guy to work, he assumes that he's going to be able to eat while he's working. Oh, did I forget to mention to you that the tree you're going to be working on is neter revai, and therefore you're not going to be able to eat anything? That's a mechatos. That you're not allowed to do. So ema seifa. But then the Sefer goes on to say, Nisparsu agulav, if you have igule devela, they have fig cakes that are falling apart, Nispatru chaviosav, you have barrels of wine that have opened up, and you're hiring the worker to put it back together. Hare elu lo yochelu, the poelim are not allowed to eat from them, because they already had a gemar melacha, so they're already chayv and maestros. Vim lo hodian, but if you didn't let them know about it, that they're not going to be able to eat, ma'aser machilam, then it's the balabais' problem to take the maestros and make sure they have what to eat. But if you can say that it's minas shemayim that they get it, so why don't they get to eat? It's the Torah simply doesn't allow him to eat iser. So why is it the balabayis' problem rather to make sure that he has what to eat? It's not the balabayis' problem. He's simply not included in his matana. And if you can try to say over here, it's also like a mechatos. He didn't know that he's not going to be able to eat anything. I understand if fig cakes come apart, it's a mekachtos because he didn't know that this stuff was chayiv and maisros already. But if it's barrels that are open, doesn't he realize that wine already in the barrel already had a gemar melacha and is therefore already chayiv and maiser? He had to have realized that. So how can you claim mekachtos? I didn't realize this stuff is chayiv and maiser. So Rav Sheshes and Spatchu Chavios of the bar. It's not just that the wine barrels opened up and then all the wine spilled back into the bar from which they came. So he assumes that it did not yet have a gemar melacha because it's in the bar at the bottom of the wine press. So Tanya Yain Mishir the bar. But wait, doesn't the Brisa say that once it's in the bar at the bottom of the wine press, it already is nigmar melacha and it already is chayv and maisos? Rabbi Akiva, damar mishiyakve. No, we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that it only becomes chayv and maisos when you remove the psolas that's floating on the top of the wine. Damar le lo aviyadina. The guy can say, I didn't know that psolas was already removed. You should have thought of that. It's already in the bar, so there is a chance that the psolas has already been removed from the top. It's already out of gemar melacha, so you can't claim as a poel, oh, I thought I'd be able to eat from this. No, we're assuming that the minig in that place is that the guy who takes the wine out of the bar and puts it in barrels is the one who normally does the gemar melacha of removing the psolas. So he says, you're hiring me to put the wine in the barrels. So of course I assume there was no gemar melacha yet, because the guy who puts the wine in the barrels is the one who makes the gemar melacha. So that's why it's a mekach tos. Once Rav Zvid taught by the Beis Medrash of Ravoshia that there is this machlokas when the chiyuv of meiser is chal on yayin, that yayin mishir lebar v'yikap of Rebbe Kiva Omer mishial b'chavios afilu tzei mishlonus patchul chavios of lebar. You could even say that the case is that the wine has not all fallen back into the bar from which it came. The amrulei, the poelim could say to the balabais, lo yavidin de mishle, we didn't know that you already had strained the wine and had removed the psolas. V'neim lehu, but ask the Gemara, why can't the balabais say back to the poelim, ibayiluch you should have thought of the possibility that maybe it's already been strained and therefore it's already chayv in maestros. No, we're talking about a place where the minig is that the guy who seals the barrels is the one who removes the psolas from the barrels. So since it's the guy who seals the barrels, they assume that since they're being hired to be the ones who seal the barrels, that it certainly did not yet have a gemar melacha. So that's why it's a mekach tos, and it has nothing to do with mishalo uachel and mishal shemayim uachel. So says Gemara Tashma, we need to bring another raya number 9. Kotzeitz Adam, person is able to make a condition with the balabais al yedei atzmo, when he hires himself out to do malacha, or yedei bno bito agedolim, or when his children, his adult children, are hired to do malacha, or yedei avdov shepchasra agedolim, or his adult avadim, al yedei ishto, or his wife is doing malacha, mnei sheyesh ben das, because they have das to agree to whatever agreement he makes, whatever terms he arranges for them. Aval eino kotzeitz, but he cannot make a tenai that they're not going to eat, and therefore to have a higher salary, when it's his young children working, nor when it's his young avadim, nor when it's his behema doing the work, because they don't have the das to be able to be mochel. So we're working with the assumption that we're talking where the father, the guy who's doing all this arranging, is feeding them. So I understand if it's mishal shemayim mochel, it has nothing to do with their way. Wages, so I understand why he's not allowed to be kotzeitz, and he's not allowed to make this deal. Meaning, because it's not in place of salary. You can't say, okay, don't give them salary instead. It's mishal shamayim. But if you hold that it's just part of the salary, why can't you make the same deal for ketanim? So says, now the case is where he's not feeding them. If he's not feeding them, then gedolim, why is he allowed to make the deal for his gedolim children and avadim? Gedolim yadi v'kamachli, because gedolim, they know about it and they're mochel, and if they're mochel, then they have every right to be mochel. They have every right to agree to whatever conditions he makes. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Tanya Rav Hoshea tomorrow.